All right, then, how is the Lord superior to Moses? Verse 3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. How? Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Now, Moses was faithful in God's house, but the Lord Jesus is the one who built the house. You see, he's the creator. Moses is the creature. There is a difference, my friend. Now it says, verse 4, for every house is builded by some, and the word man is in italics, built by someone. Can't have a house unless it just didn't grow, you see. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. And the Lord Jesus is the creator. He's God. Moses never made that claim. Now, will you notice, verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, there's several things very important here. Not only is Christ superior to Moses in that he is the creator and Moses is a creature, but also Moses, the best thing that could be said of him, he was a servant of God. Never is he called a son of God. Christ is the son of God. And by the way, there is a difference between the son in the house and the servant in the house. All the difference in the world. So Christ is superior to Moses here on two counts. Christ is the creator, and he is the son. Now there's something else here that's very important to see. It says here, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Paul had a way of using ifs, not as a condition, but as a method of argument and of logic, by the way. I think what he's saying here is, since we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope to the end. In other words, if we are a son of God, if we are partakers of the heavenly calling, we will be faithful. We will hold fast. That's the proof of it. And you remember John put it like this over in 1 John 2:19. Let me read that. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, I have always believed that God has permitted the cults to come along to draw out of the churches those that are not really believers. That's one way he has a straining. The proof that you are a child of God is the fact that you're faithful to God and that you hold to the faith. That doesn't make you a child of God. That's the proof you are a child of God, my friend. And if you are a child of God, you will hold out, not because you are able to, but because he's able to make you stand, therefore. So what we have here is the if of argument that you are holding out, and that means you are partaker of the heavenly calling, you see. You are among the brethren, and if you're not, you're going to move out. That's the reason I always use the Bible sort of as a means of testing. When I was pastor of a church, I taught the Word of God, and when a person really is a child of God, he's going to hold to the Word of God. He's going to love the Word of God. He wants to hear his Father talking to him. And I used it as a Geiger counter. You know, I just put it down on a fella. You don't get any reaction. You're almost sure he's not a child of God. Oh, he may be a church member. We've got a lot of those around today. But my friend, it's your relationship to the Word of God. Are you faithful? That is the evidence. You are a child of God. Now, friends, one of the things that we should emphasize again is the fact that there is a comparison and really a contrast made between Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he says here concerning Moses is quite interesting. He doesn't find fault with Moses. Fact of the matter is, he says Moses was faithful. There's no reference at all to failure, but rather to fidelity. Moses was found faithful. But Christ is faithful, we are told. So what is the difference? And the difference is this. The Lord Jesus is the creator of the house. Moses was a servant in the house. So that you have here the contrast between the son and a servant, between the creator and a creature, and between the one who is the ruler and the one who is obeying. Therefore, we are to consider the Lord Jesus because he's superior to Moses. Now, that can be carried through, and I'd like to pursue that just a little before we move down to verse 7 today. Both Moses and the Lord Jesus enunciated an ethical system. I think there is general agreement today, even among those that are outside the fold of Christ, that would say that Moses gave the greatest legal system that has ever been given, and that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he enunciated a tremendous system of laws. But, friends, there's a tremendous difference in the two. You see, the laws which came from God through Moses, they were laws that had to do with conduct. But when the Lord Jesus Christ gave what we call the Sermon on the Mount, it begins with those marvelous beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And it doesn't have to do with conduct, has to do with character. You see, the ethical demands of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, if you attempt to give them apart from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection on the cross, may I say to you, you present a hopeless system to man today. And I repeat it, the Sermon on the Mount, apart from the redemption we have in Christ, has made more hypocrites today in the church than anything else. This idea of teaching ethics and saying you keep the Sermon on the Mount. My friend, only through the redemption in Christ can you even approach that. Therefore, God spoke through Moses yonder on top of Mount Sinai, and there was thunder, and there was a cloud, and there was lightning, and there was terror. That was a tempest. That was an earthquake. You remember when we were in Exodus, we emphasized that. And he said to the people, stand afar off. Don't even let the cattle come near. But God has spoken to us today. Not that way. He's spoken to us from the top of a hill called Calvary. And on that hill, there was a cross. And on that cross, there was a broken, bruised, and dying man. And may I say, he was more than a man. But by that death upon the cross, there has flowed down to this world the grace of God. And I thank God he doesn't save us by law. If he did, Vernon McGee would have to turn in his report and say, I failed, and that I'll have to look for another route. And thank God there is another route by the grace of God. So, my friend, Jesus is superior to Moses, and therefore we are asked to consider him. We are told here, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession, Jesus. Consider him. And we're going to be asked to do that again. When we get over to the practical side, we're told, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You see, you'd be a very discouraged person if all you had was a Sermon on the Mount. And I feel sorry for you if that's your religion. If that's all you've got, you are flying under false colors, apart from the redemption of Christ. Now you to consider him. Consider him in his person. Consider him in his performance, in his work upon the cross. And someone has put it like this, when the storm is raging high, when the tempest rends the sky, when my eyes with tears are dim, then my soul, consider him. When my plans are in the dust, when my dearest hopes are crushed, when is past each foolish whim, then my soul, consider him. When with dearest friends I part, when deep sorrow fills my heart, when pain racks each weary limb, then my soul, consider him. When I track my weary way, when fresh trails come each day, when my faith and hope are dim, then my soul, consider him. Clouds or sunshine, dark or bright, evening shades or morning light, when my cup flows o'er the brim, then my soul, consider him. We're to consider him in this epistle. We're going to need the Spirit of God to make him real to us.